The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
The first thing is, let's just talk about purpose in general, all right? Purpose in general. There is a teaching in the Kabbalah that when God wanted to create the world, you and me, He created these vessels, and He gave over to these vessels His light. But these vessels were not able to take the light, and they broke down. And the question that the Kabbalists deal with is why did the vessels break down? So the word for vessel in Hebrew is kli. And the truth is that, you know, Hebrew words have sometimes multiple translations. So the word kli can either mean a container, or it could mean a tool or an instrument. And essentially, what the Kabbalah teaches us is these vessels made a mistake, and they thought they were containers with the intention of holding on to this light, containing this light, when in fact they were really instruments with the purpose of passing this light on. Now, of course, this is all metaphorical. This is like a poetic way of communicating some very deep secrets about our existence, which is, are we containers, are we consumers, or are we vehicles, are we instruments, are we tools? And that's when things break down. There's this incredible life energy coming into us every second. And it is a life force that I know, and it's self-evident to me anyways, and I think to most people, that this is not my life force. In other words, you know, not so long ago when I was in Toronto, I had to take my father to his heart specialist, and the heart specialist decided that they should do an echo of my father's heart, which is like a it's like an ultrasound where you can literally see the heart. And there I see my father, you know, lying there on this bed next to me, and I see next to him this screen with a picture of his heart, and it's beating. And it's really amazing when you see that heart beating, you realize I'm not beating my heart. I'm not, you know, it's like I'm not the source of this life force. And so the energies that are flowing into us every second, life, wisdom, for instance. I mean, I certainly don't intuit that this is my wisdom. I might choose what I want to do with the power to think, but I don't feel that I'm the source of the power of thinking. I don't believe I invented the power of thinking. I don't believe I'm the master of power of thinking. But somehow, I have been given, or I am being given this very second, the power to think. So all the powers of life, thinking, understanding, loving, feeling, all these powers that are the spectrum of the color of life, you know, this is really the gift of God coming into us this very second. It is not a force that I think we can only say is my force. And this is when people get confused when they talk about my life and I can do with my life what I want to do. But I really challenge people whether it's correct that this is my life. I'm not the source of life. I'm not in control of life. I can't start my heart to beat and stop my heart to beat and then start again. You know, there is this life force that graciously is being given over to me every second. So therefore, well, am I a container, and am I meant to consume this life force, hold on to this life force, or am I really a tool whereby my job in life is to pass this life force, to pass this power on to others, on into the world. In other words, what Judaism tells us is that our essence is service. That when a person, what does it mean to be in service of God? Well, most people think that God is some being floating in outer space, and so they think that to serve God means that they are going to diminish themselves. Most people think that God is some being over there, and to serve God means to give up what I want for what God wants. But actually, God is not over there. But when we talk about God, we're talking about the universal soul. And that each and every one of us is an individual soul, but a vehicle, a tool, an instrument for that universal soul to become manifest. And in fact, Friedrich Nietzsche, famous German philosopher who said God is dead, is not so famous for something else that he said, which is unless a person feels some infinite whole working through them, their life has no meaning. In other words, Nietzsche is talking about some infinite whole working through us. In other words, to serve God means to serve as a tool, as an instrument, to reveal God's wisdom, to reveal God's knowledge, to reveal God's love. In other words, when you love another person, you are really serving God, because you are serving to channel God's love into the world, because it's not my love. I didn't invent love. I'm not the master of love. The power of love in my heart is not a power that comes from within me, but actually comes to me from some source much greater than me, which is what we'd call God. Therefore, the idea of purpose is really the very fact that human beings are concerned about purpose itself is a profound intuition that we are actually tools. So my point is that we intuit that the question of human purpose is valid. And what does that really mean? Right? What it really means is that we somehow intuit that we really are not containers meant to hold on to life or meant to hold on and hoard our powers, but really we are tools, channels for powers that come from a source much greater than ourselves. So the very question of purpose is based on a deep intuition that we serve some greater cause, that we serve some greater power, and that the truth is when someone lives a life which is self-serving, that is actually a meaningless life. In fact, the word meaning really says it all. When do I feel meaning? I feel meaning in my life when I feel that I am a means to an end greater than myself, to a cause greater than myself. So when a person commits themselves to justice, you know, and bringing justice, you know, to bear in the world, or committed to peace, or committed to kindness, what are they really committed to? That's really serving God, because peace, kindness are really the powers of God. They are the attributes of God. And therefore, when I feel that my life is a vehicle for actualizing peace on earth, or justice on earth, or loving kindness on earth, or to a vehicle for great wisdom into the world, that is really what service is about. So when we talk about, well, how does one find their purpose, the first thing is to understand the meaning of purpose in the first place. Purpose is the experience of living a life of service. The question we need to ask ourselves every day, which is, what am I serving, right? Because to serve really is to live, and to live a meaningful, purposeful life. In other words, when we seek purpose in our life, we're seeking an end much greater than ourselves. In fact, there was a John Glenn, who was the first astronaut who went into outer space, and they called the rocket ship the Friendship 7. Anyway, so Glenn, you know, had a bit of a scary situation, because when the Friendship 7 was returning to Earth, there were some technical complications, and his life was in danger, but they were able to, you know, navigate through the problem. When they, I believe it was the Columbia, crashed, and you know, the astronauts within it were, died. They asked John Glenn his thoughts on the matter, and John said, you know, until a person is willing to dedicate their life to something that they're willing to die for, they haven't begun to live. It's a very powerful statement. That is a life of purpose. When a person finds that cause that transcends their own safety, you know, when soldiers are willing to put their life on the line to fight for peace or fight for a Jewish survival, then the Jewish people they experience as a reality that is much greater than themselves. And in a strange way, that risk turns into a tremendous path of empowerment. Because really, why would a person take something, do something that could possibly, you know, endanger their personal survival? Because when they feel that their life is in service of a reality greater than themselves, then they feel part of that greater, and they don't feel, and they feel that their life takes on a greater meaning and a greater value. And especially when a person commits their life to peace, well, they experience themselves as becoming part of a value which is eternal. You know, they do not feel that their personal existence is eternal, but if their personal existence becomes a vehicle, a tool, an instrument for a power which is eternal, a value which is eternal, like peace, right? Then they experience themselves as them becoming part of the eternal. Therefore, when we talk about, you know, well, how does one find their purpose? The first step is to define what does it mean to find purpose at all? Why would I even seek purpose at all? And the answer is because we intuit deep within ourselves that when our life becomes the be-all and end-all, then our life is ended. But when a person experiences an end greater than themselves, a cause that transcends their own personal safety, and they commit themselves in service of that greater cause, then they experience great life force and deep personal fulfillment. That's why people who live their life selfishly, you know, hoard all their money, don't give to charity, don't spend time helping others, but are only concerned about helping themselves, are actually hurting themselves. The most selfish thing we could do is to be selfless. That's really the most, you know, self-gratifying thing one could do, is when they take the talents God has blessed them with, the divine gifts that they have, and commit those gifts to causes greater than themselves. In that way, they actually enhance, they intensify their sense of self rather than diminish their sense of self. But when a person just says, I'm going to treat myself, and all they do is, you know, for themselves, then actually they diminish themselves even though they thought they were intensifying themselves. So I had a fellow I used to learn with who was a Oscar-winning screenwriter in Hollywood, and he once shared with me something which was really is really quite appropriate to what I'm talking about here. His name is Dan Gordon, and Jewish guy, and he told me that before he writes, he goes into the office, and before he begins to write, he has a little prayer. And his prayer is, please, God, use me. And Dan shared with me that, you know, Rabbi, I really don't feel that I wrote any of these scripts. I really feel that I am the typewriter rather than the writer. And that, you know, to me, my writing is a service, and all I want is that God use me because, quite frankly, I don't believe any of these films I wrote. So I told Dan, well, Dan, the good ones you didn't write, but the bad ones are yours. You know, but what he's describing is really such a very essential attitude in Judaism, which is really, please God, use me. You know, allow me to experience how an infinite whole is working through me. Allow me to live a life of service, whereby I can dedicate myself to a sacred cause, a divine value, a divine ideal that can become materialized through me. Right? So, but you know, you can have a doctor who you know, thinks he's really quite brilliant and thinks he's a healer. And those are the doctors you got to stay away from. Right? Because he doesn't have the humility to see his life and his profession as a service of a power much greater than himself. All of us can begin to find what our service to God is by seeing what our talents are. In other words, imagine that we are all appliances, right? Well, how would a fridge know what its purpose is? Well, a fridge would know its purpose by looking at what it does. It cools, it's very good at cooling things, right? In other words, we find our purpose by looking at our talents. However, Judaism qualifies one other purpose that we've come into this world to do, which is Judaism says we've come into this world to fix our character traits, right? And one of the things we know about ourselves is we've got great talents, but we have very, very great vices. We've got some real shortcomings. And so what does that tell us about ourselves? I mean, if we were an appliance, appliances don't have shortcomings, right? Appliances are only good at what they do. But the human being would be this appliance that built into the appliance is great talents, yet built into the appliance is problems. Right? It's almost intended. You know, it's engineered to short circuit. It's engineered to make mistakes. Right? Imagine a computer that is programmed to also make mistakes. Like, that's ridiculous, right? Computers are programmed not to make mistakes. But human beings are programmed to make mistakes. Because part of our purpose is to make choices and to choose goodness, to choose peace. And therefore, in order to serve in our goal to actualize peace, we have to also have within us the inclination to want to do battle. So therefore, what I'm sharing here is this. How does one find their personal purpose? They have to look at what they're really good at, and they have to look at what they're really bad at. And they have to use what they're good at to give them the power to fix what they're bad at. So for instance, there was a great teacher by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter who taught that you know, we all have to know our strengths and our weaknesses. Because if a person doesn't know their weaknesses, then they're like a carpenter who takes a piece of wood and doesn't know where the knots are in the wood, and begins to cut, and he cuts right into the knot. So you need to know the weaknesses. But he says a person who does not know their strengths and talents is like a carpenter who has no tools. Right? So therefore, we have to have the ability to confidently know what we are good at, and what are our talents. But we also have to have the humility to honestly face our weaknesses and our character deficiencies. And then we have to take our strengths and apply those strengths to enable us to, you know, to fix our character traits. So that's why in Jewish tradition we are taught that everyone is born with a unique yetzer hara, a unique evil, negative, destructive urge. Some people, what they'll do for money is unbelievable. What some people will do for fame, unbelievable. What some people might do for sex, unbelievable. But not all of us can understand each other's urges. You know, like I recall, there was a woman who was in the Olympics for ice skating, And her brothers went ahead and attacked the other woman who was her competitor and broke her legs. Right? I mean, like, that just doesn't... I can't get that. I mean, like, I just don't have any inclination for fame or for competitive ice skating where I would get my brothers to break the legs of my competitor. Like, you know, I just can't understand her yetzirah. But I don't have to, because it's hers, it's not mine. I got plenty on my plate of mine. And therefore, to really find our purpose, we need to figure out, you know, what our strengths are. You know, some guy could take his business sense and you know, manufacture some soda pop that kills kids, right? And he doesn't care, right? You know, he's putting out something that causes kids to become hyperactive, or, I mean, all this other stuff. You know, some guy could be producing ice cream, but the truth is a lot of this ice cream has the same ingredients as paint and glue, and this guy's really doing no good. So that's the question a person has to ask themselves. What good are you, right? Which is, what good are we doing in the world? And so there are people who make money for the sake of making money in order so that they can make money, so they can make money. That ultimately turns into a purposeless and meaningless life, and that becomes their own hell. And eventually it hits them that their life is not useful because they have not dedicated themselves to anyone greater than themselves, right? And any cause or value or ideal beyond themselves. And that turns into their own hell. But Judaism is a path that is constantly guiding us towards serving God. And serving God would mean to serve, to bring to the world God's ideals and God's values. So, you know, in my case, I definitely have very little business sense, I think. But I, you know, being given the gift of gab, I've also been given a very holistic thinking mind, so I have been told by many people that I have the ability to take deep ideas and translate them into a simple formula that anyone can understand. That's a strength that I have been given. Now the question is, what do I do with that strength? Well, when I was a kid, I thought I would go into acting because, you know, I have stage presence. I have absolutely no problem speaking to large crowds. Since I was a child, it came very natural to me. And, you know, so I could have become an actor. But then I thought, well, I'm very creative. So I thought, well, maybe I'll become a rock star. And then I ended up becoming a rabbi. Right? Now, I'm not saying that all actors don't, you know, actors don't live a purposeful life. But some don't, right? Because basically the films they're doing are often films that have really no message, have really very little content, and they're in it for the money. And they've got, again, these little kids wasting their money watching films that only destroy their souls. So that's not a person who is in service of God. And ultimately, their hell will be when they realize that they have lived a life that is purposeless, that really it was all about their ego and left their soul totally starving. Because the soul knows that it's a tool. The soul knows that it's an individual soul in service of a collective universal soul. But it's the ego that, you know, diverts us from that inner truth and tries to convince us that to be selfish is truly the way to acquire a true sense of feeling good about ourselves. And when do we really feel good about ourselves? It's when we're selfless. It's when we're in service. It's when we feel that what we're doing transcends ourself, and that our life is committed to a cause and to an ideal that is eternally valuable. That's when we feel really great about ourselves.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.